we've been talking over the past several sessions about understanding prayer, and in our last broadcast, we talked about praise as a form of warfare prayer. So let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to our worldwide radio broadcast, where we've been talking over the past several sessions about understanding prayer. And in our last broadcast, we began to discuss praise as a warfare prayer. Our proof text was 2 Chronicles 20. We briefly reviewed it, and I want to discuss it today in more detail. You will recall in our last broadcast that King Jehoshaphat was caught on a battlefield surrounded by the enemy from Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. They far outnumbered him and his people. He did not know what to do. He called on God, which was the very first thing to do. And the first thing he did was, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6, to acknowledge the Lord. Listen to what he said. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and rule you not, though, over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? So the first thing he did was acknowledge God. He then went on to tell God who he was. In verse 7, he says, are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave
it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? In verse 10, he presents the problem to the Lord. It says, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." After Jehoshaphat acknowledges the Lord and presents the problem to the Lord, in verse 12, he asks the Lord to bring judgment. He continues, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you." So he acknowledges the Lord, he presents the problem to the Lord, he asks the Lord to bring judgment upon the enemy. Now keep in mind that in our personal lives, the enemy may not be a physical enemy, but a spiritual enemy. Satan, fallen angels, demons. In verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20, upon acknowledging the Lord, presenting the problem, and asking the Lord to bring judgment, guess what happened? The Spirit of the Lord fell upon the congregation, and the presence of God became known on the scene by a common witness. It says, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, you all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." He continued, "Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Notice that once the presence of God falls on the circumstance, God brings revelation and even exposes the location and plans of the enemy. God will show you where to face the issue, how to face the issue, by your acknowledging Him, bringing the problem to Him, and asking Him to judge the circumstance. It continues in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle yourselves. Stand you still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." That's the presence of God. God says, stand still and face your enemy. You need not battle in the battle yourselves. In other words, God is saying, let Him move first. You're not doing it alone. He's doing it with you and me. In verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." So once they got the revelation, what was the very next step in the spiritual warfare of praise? They began praising and worshiping God. Why? Because praise and worship precede spiritual warfare. Now, how do we know that? Watch this. In verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Notice what Jehoshaphat did. He assembled a praise and worship team of instruments and people to go out ahead of the army. In other words, they were purposely and intentionally calling attention to the enemy to look at them. Can you imagine what that must have looked like on a battlefield? The enemy must have been perplexed, saying to themselves, what in the world are they doing? They're calling attention to themselves. Now we know where they are. Now we can kill them. No, you see, when you're ready to do the ridiculous, God's ready to do the miraculous. And so they obeyed God. They trusted that the Spirit of Christ would do it in them and through them. And they spoke confidently, and they started to praise the Lord. Why? Because praise calls forth angels. And watch this, in verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, they were destroyed. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, every one helped to destroy another. In other words, God confused them, confounded them, and they warred against each other and destroyed each other. How about that? And then it goes on to say that Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils. Verse 25, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. In other words, God not only gave them the victory over the enemy, God gave them the wealth of the enemy. So what did Jehoshaphat do after they praised and worshipped and called forth angels? They watched God work. They watched the enemy being destroyed and confounded. You and I need to claim our reward also. The scripture says, in the last days, the wealth of the enemy is reserved for the righteous. It was all done with praise and worship. Now, wait a minute. Jehoshaphat was outnumbered. They didn't have enough men to fight those armies of the enemy. How in the world, then, did they set ambushes to cause the enemy to destroy each other? Well, the answer to that is they didn't. God did. You see, praise releases angels to come on the scene. Those ambushes were angelic. Notice what it says in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy, against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were destroyed. The Lord did it. That's why at the beginning of this narrative, the prophet said, the battle is the Lord's. You see, brothers and sisters, praise and worship is an extremely important and powerful form of prayer, giving God his due, telling God of his greatness and of his love and of his power toward you and me, worshiping him because of who he is, not because of what he can do for you and me, because we desire a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, and because the scripture says God is love. Praise and worship releases angels. Praise and worship brings God on the scene. Praise and worship as a form of prayer releases ambushments against the enemy. Praise and worship is an extremely powerful form of prayer. What are the lessons that we learn? Well, the first thing is you cannot do spiritual warfare to pave the way for God's presence to come to your circumstance or your city. If you try to do that under your own power, you will fail. You must use praise and worship and first acknowledge the Lord, present the problem to him, and then go into your praise and worship to manifest the presence of God to you first. You can't do it under your own power. You see, in the Old Testament, victories in battle were always obtained by carrying the ark first, ahead in battle. The ark represents the presence of Jesus. Jesus is our ark. He is the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things: the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. There was the manna from heaven, the bread that fell from heaven, and Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven, the bread of life. And there was Aaron's rod that budded or bloomed, the dead stick that came to life, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Nobody goes to the Father but by me, he said. And so, what we learn from this is we must ask Jesus to go ahead of us in battle. We must follow the leading of God and God's Spirit as to what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And so God said to Jehoshaphat, be still and listen. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So the next lesson that we learn from Jehoshaphat is watch out, be alert. Satan is always willing and able to help you do spiritual warfare, by putting on your heart a battle plan and getting you to pursue it before bringing the presence of God on the scene, before praying. In other words, under your own ideas and under your own power. And guess what will happen? It'll be ineffectual and it'll be powerless, giving Satan the victory. Why? Because God was not brought on the scene first by acknowledging him in praise and worship. Oh yes, my friends, Satan has been teaching Christians spiritual warfare for centuries, but his way. You see, the ark, that is Jesus, always went before the Israelites before they could conquer their enemies, and it always gave them victory. That ark is Jesus. New Testament scripture says that we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. What does that mean? It means from test to test, victory to victory. The next thing we learn as a lesson from Jehoshaphat is that commanding darkness away does not bring light. No, he had to praise and worship and bring the presence on the scene first. The presence is Jesus. And it is the presence of the light, Jesus, that dispels the darkness. That means that in deliverance and in spiritual warfare, you and I do nothing. We are still. Be still and know that I am God. We are an empty vessel for his use. And it is Jesus the Christ in us and through us that effects or produces the deliverance and the victory. The glory is his. And for this reason, praise and worship is all the more warranted and due him both before and after battle. He is the presence on the scene of battle. The enemy cannot hide from him. He gives us the weapons of warfare and leads us in how to use them. You see, my friends, Jehoshaphat was humble before God. He did not choose his battle. God did. Don't go looking for a spiritual battle to engage in under your own power or under your own ideas. The presence of God must come on the scene first through praise and worship. We call down the presence through praise and worship and acknowledging the Lord. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. In other words, it brings him directly on the scene. When Jehoshaphat in Judah praised the Lord, they brought the Lord directly on the scene, and the Lord released angelic ambushments against the enemy. Do you have spiritual problems, or perhaps circumstantial problems that are so great that they are overbearing and you have no solution for them? Begin praising and adoring and worshiping the Lord abundantly, and let the Lord dispel the enemy from your life and deliver you from your circumstances. He is able. Don't try to do it under your own power. In the book of Acts, the Jewish exorcist, the seven sons of Sceva, tried to enter the battle without knowing or acknowledging Christ, and the enemy said to them, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" And the demons proceeded to strip them naked and throw them out into the street. Only the power of the Lord destroys and dispels the presence of the enemy. And you can access that power through praise and worship prayer. Now let me ask you a question. Would you like to see the power of God move in your life? And if you've never seen the power of God move in your life, isn't it about time to develop a relationship with God who wants to love you, restore you, get you out of your circumstances, deliver you from your problems, deliver you from bad habits, deliver you from habitual sin? Jesus Christ is real and alive today and willing to get involved in your circumstances. Most people go through life defeated, and they also go through life living below the standard that God desires for them. God has so much more for you. If he has a way into your heart, he has a way out of your circumstances. And it will be self-proving, which will be the testimony that Jesus Christ is real. Won't you receive him now by praying this prayer aloud, being willing to turn from your sin? Jesus will do the rest. Pray this prayer with me now, won't you?
Say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or a personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Burns Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.